Connie Benson-Wolf, it's very good to be talking with you.
Well, thank you, Julie. It's good to be talking with you as well.
Now, everyone over at Aging and In-Home Services is on that front line every day, it seems, just taking care of business. What is your world like in these days of the coronavirus pandemic?
You know, it is such a whirlwind for us, as I know it is for so many folks who are trying to take care of populations that may be at special risk related to this virus. And it's been such a journey for us to quickly adapt the work that we do with very vulnerable individuals to this new reality that's kind of facing all of us. So we have been, over the last 3 weeks, as have so many, moving to become a remote workforce so that we are protecting our workers and our clients as much as possible. We're adapting our technology. We are adapting and altering our program models and interventions because of the virus. We are committed to making sure that we do everything possible to stay in touch with every single client that we have that we normally stay in touch with, but we're adding on as many layers of additional support and protection as we possibly can.
That's amazing and good for you. Now, about how many folks do you actively serve?
We touch over 58,000 lives in a year. They may be something as simple as handing out an information brochure at a health fair or working with a family caregiver to provide them with a little information. Or it may be something as intense as counseling and care management on an ongoing basis for clients. So we have a whole continuum of services that we provide. Probably the program that we have that people know the name of the most is Meals on Wheels. That's a very straightforward, highly recognizable program. But the breadth of the agency is really significant. We cover a 9-county area in Northeast Indiana. Plus, we do some of our other work, even in a broader northern tier of Indiana, some of our care transitions work. So we're busy. We have a lot of people that we're responsible for and a lot of people that we just touch and provide information to.
So, of course, you're always busy. And meanwhile, you're dealing with individuals, you're dealing with families and their networks. How does this sheer extra number of people complicate things when everybody's supposed to be social distancing?
It's interesting because one of the things that's happening for us that is on the positive side of things is that we are receiving a great deal of flexibility from the federal government and the state government because they realize that we are working with a very fragile population. So we are actually in a position where we are able to do some expansion of our services when people need it the most, which I'm very grateful for. We're in a position now to begin helping a little broader range, at least during this crisis, because some of the criteria has been softened, so to speak, or made more flexible so we can help more people. And there's a little more money coming down the pike for us so that we can try to serve more people. The community is stepping forward and making contributions to the services that we need to get out there. We're working with family caregivers, helping them find alternatives. If the family caregiver begins to not feel well or feels that they would be putting the senior at risk, for example, we're able to try to step in to try to fill the gap while some of these unprecedented things are happening.
So what is your biggest concern right now?
You know, there are several. One is just the sheer volume that I think we could be in terms of number of folks that need help and our agency's ability to be staffed sufficiently so that we could meet those needs. We haven't hit that peak yet, and we've been working very closely with the Public Health Department and Dr. McMahon to prepare as best we can for that increasing demand, but one always has some capacity limitations. We're not there, but that is one of the things that keeps me up at night. The other is just keeping folks safe without having them be so isolated that they're kind of lost in this mix. Many of them are somewhat isolated to begin with. As people become more aware of the importance of social distancing, this whole isolating factor happens. I worry about some of our folks that might just be getting so isolated that alone could be detrimental to their health and well-being. there are all kinds of things that we're just thinking through as best we can, trying to figure out how to utilize community volunteers and others in creative ways, still protective of our clients. One of the things that we've been doing is working with Dr. Chang at the Indiana University Med School, and they're going to be designating some of their med students to work with us to be kind of health coaches for our most at-risk clients. So they'll be supplementing the work being done by our case managers in the home and be a linkage back to the primary care physician, and try to get ahead of anything that may be brewing or developing health-wise with very isolated seniors. So we're trying to do as many creative things as we possibly can to support people as we go through this, because it looks like it's going to be not just days or weeks, as we're hearing, but potentially several months before things are kind of back to normal.
Indeed, and the things that you were not expecting, well, there's plenty of bad ones, of course, but it's nice to have the extra help, the community support, the practical ways to reconstruct your rules and regulations to go forward with all of this.
Right.
Now, this is a less than once in a lifetime occurrence, granted. Is it something that they could, that they did teach you at Aging and In-Home Services school back in the day, Connie?
No. I don't know that anyone actually, other than the epidemiologists of the world, you know, actually had envisioned what this could be like in a pandemic. I mean, we certainly have had business contingency plans in place for earthquakes and tornadoes. And, you know, if something happened at our headquarters facility for backup for all our records, those kinds of planning kinds of things. But I'm not sure that we really adequately planned for a pandemic of this magnitude. And my guess is very few folks really did. I've been around in this industry for a long time, and I have never seen anything even close to this. The other thing that I think is really interesting in what's happening, and I mean, we've been moving in this direction here in Northeast Indiana anyway, it's a growing recognition of what's called the social determinants of health. And basically, that means that the research has now shown us that about 60% of what drives utilization of healthcare is tied to those social, economic kinds of issues, behavioral issues that are outside the clinical realm. Doctors can't control those.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had, as an agency, been really in the forefront, not only in Indiana, but somewhat nationally, in terms of helping to build a model that really links us more closely to healthcare. And this pandemic has just reinforced for me the importance of that direction, because everything that I see that is trying to happen related to flattening the curve, many of the things are tied to individual situations and behaviors and resources. You know, can you stay as healthy as you possibly can while being isolated, but can you afford the food that you need? Can you have a healthy diet? Can you find other ways that you can support your health if you're living at home? As we see people who may have lost a paycheck, you know, then if they lose their housing, if you don't have secure housing, that affects your health. All of these things are intertwined and braided together. And so we have a really important role to play. This has just been a huge demonstration for me that our board and lead staff, that we've all been headed in the right direction with our agency anyway. This just pushes us to a whole new level of being cognizant of what we do and how that impacts the health of our clients and the populations that we serve, which then really does drive a lot of what's happening with healthcare in our entire community.
And it sounds like you've got your ducks in a row as best you can. I do have to commend you on your spirit. You've got a wonderful attitude. Who do you turn to when you feel like it's just about more than you can handle, Connie?
That's a really good question, Julia. You know, I'll tell you, before the pandemic, what I would do on any day when I felt like I was heading into overwhelm, you know, because we have been leaders in the industry that we work in, and I tend to push my staff because I am somebody who doesn't just want to be good enough. I want to be the best. I want my community to have the best agency and the best services possible. on a bad day for me, normally what I would do is I'd walk out and I would look at my staff leaving the parking lot as they go out in the morning, and this little army of people goes out to take care of these folks who really, really need help. And I can't visually do that during the pandemic because we're working remotely, but I try to visualize that every morning when I sit down at my own computer and start my day, because these are the folks who actually make the difference. They care so much about their clients. We've moved to telephonic models, and one of the biggest jobs that I have and our COO and our other leaders within the staff have is making it okay for our field operations folks, our social workers, our case managers, and our options counselors who can't get to the people they want to get to physically. We're doing everything we can to support them and let them know that what they're doing is absolutely crucial to the health and well-being of those people, and it's okay. We're going to get back to other business later on. And then I will also tell you that when I made a decision to come into this part of the world, into Northeast Indiana, I came because I interviewed with a board of directors that just blew my socks off, who kept telling me that they wanted innovation and they wanted to take everything up a step and do the best job they possibly could and have an agency that did that. And I have not once in the 10 years that I've been here been disappointed. I always tell everybody, I have the world's best board of directors. They're progressive. They do all of their oversight and their stewardship. They are open to doing things better every single time I ask for it. My inspiration really kind of comes from both those levels. I look up to the board and extend my arms to the staff. We've got the right mix, and we've made some amazing things happen because of that.
Connie, I want to thank you for your dedication and your spirit. Continued best. Stay well. Do carry the gift.
Thank you so much. We appreciate it. We appreciate the opportunity to talk about the work we get to do.